think it was about 8 or 9 days, and turned back yesterday evening, and we're here. We'll be here for the remainder of the winter. And as long as you want us here, we've enjoyed getting away for a few days. I'm finding out that the older I get, the more time it's important for me to take. I'm sure that she's been recognized, but it's good to see Steve and Tom. Is that your mother there? And my bifocals are. Is that Mom there? Is that you hiding back there? Hon, we're so glad to see you tonight. God bless you. I wasn't sure whether I tell you, it's getting amazing. I'm getting, my vision is getting 2 or 3 times. It really isn't. That's an excuse that I use, and I'm not sure that I know the person and I want to say hi, huh? If you have your Bibles, turn me to Luke chapter 6. The Bible says, the Bible doesn't say this. Eddie Serrano says, just a minute, I have to unbutton all my clothes and take my pants off and everything else here. Oh, for the good old days when you could just go ahead and let her fly, all right? The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's extremely important that we understand that is our utmost and primary objective in life, and that is to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. We who have been born again, we who have been saved, God is your Father by faith in Jesus Christ. But you see, it isn't just getting saved and then living like you want to live or waiting for manna to drop from heaven. The manna days are over. We heard that this morning from the preaching of God's Word. God now, even though He could do it Himself, God now uses individuals such as you and I. And I would like to speak to you on something. I probably have used a version of this before, but it is a principle or some principles that I learned a long time ago in my life, not necessarily in the ministry, but in my life. That will be extremely important to you. In fact, without these principles, and I probably will only touch on one of them, without these principles, it is impossible for you to enjoy a Christian life. We're living in a day, and I tell you very frankly, I don't want to get started on it. I appreciated what our pastor said, but I just don't want to get started on it. I really don't. I get so fed up with the newspaper when they say it'll probably cost us 40,000 lives. What do these people know about war? We dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, and it was over 150,000 people died. What is this estimate placed on war? What is going on in this world? I hope that you're paying attention, because I tell you exactly what's going on. Somebody is controlling the entire world. And he's getting ready to make his appearance. And when he does, things are going to be set so that he can take over just exactly as the Bible said he would. But in the meantime, I'll be gone. But 3, 4. Before I should be gone. The rest of you can hang around, okay, if you want to. But I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to heaven. And I'm going to be there with the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, I'd like to speak to you about a number of principles that might be very beneficial for you and I to hear. In fact, the matter is this, without these, as I said before, you cannot live the Christian life. Somebody says, well, I think that maybe I might have heard a few things like this before. Well, if we've heard it, how come we don't practice it? Has something happened since I've been away on vacation? Does this church not say amen anymore? Do we have to go through rapture practice again, huh? All right. As we did the other night, and it seemed to be pretty good. In fact, the matter is, it got to the place that I didn't even have to say 3, and people were saying amen. If you don't like it, say amen. See, nobody knows whether you like it or not. Just say amen. That gives you a chance to vent out your emotions against the pastor when he says something that hurts. Flesh always seems to come to the surface, doesn't it? All right. I really wasn't attempting to be Milton Berle. But I'll tell you something right here now. I got saved 41 years ago. About 41, 42. Well, how long has it been? It's a little bit longer than that now. 42 going on 43 years ago. And something happened. And it hasn't changed. And hospitals. I've had loved ones there. Cemeteries. I put the loved ones away. Sickness. Pain. Financial disaster. Or whatever else has come along that this world's thrown at me has not changed my song. I still get excited when I sing about the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe you have a way of showing your excitement a little bit differently than I do, but you just forgive me if I just kind of prance around and have a good time. And whether you forgive me or not, I'm going to do it anyhow. Luke chapter 6, I want to just read some scripture verses to you. I think I go back to a time when I was in school. Somebody, smart aleck back there, will say, that was what, a one-room schoolhouse? No, it wasn't quite back that far. But I remember when I was in school, the teacher called on me, attempting to do a problem on the blackboard, and she told me what to do on the blackboard, and I did exactly what she told me to do. And after she got through with the whole thing, she said, sit down for a minute. And so I sat down for a minute, and she erased the board, and she put up a new problem. And she said, now I've told you all you need to know. Here's a new problem. Get up here and solve it. And I said, you told me everything but the answer. And I think what is happening in our churches today is that many people come to church, listen to the preacher, and then say, he explained all about the problem, but what's the answer? What is the answer? Dear beloved people, if you know anything about your Bible, you know we are rapidly reaching that time when the Antichrist is going to appear on the scene, and the rapture of the church, the taking up of the bride, draweth nigh. We're going home. We're going home. We're going home. How do I bring the power, the miracle of this power into my life? I was listening to Brother Frank speak this morning, and my heart was blessed. I believe it was Brother Frank, and you went into Hosea. Was that correct? I got looking at Hosea chapter 12, and I almost was going to preach on that tonight. There's just such rich material. How do you have power with God? That Bible tells me in Hosea chapter 12 that Jacob had power with God. But you know how he got it, by hook or by crook, and therefore he had power with God, but he was a cripple the rest of his life. I would suggest to you that there are many of God's people today that have a limited power with God, but you're a cripple. Cripple either emotionally, cripple spiritually. I don't care how many times you read the Bible through. I don't care how many times you claim to have read the Bible through. I don't care how long that you've been a Christian. We're living in a day and age where men and women are spiritual cripples. A spiritual cripple is a person who will get saved, but he'll never take God at his word. And what is needed today? What is needed today are people who will take God at his word. Let's try some scripture verses here. Before you say, well, I take God as his word, and let me see what will happen if we try a few of these on for size. Luke chapter 6. How do I bring the miracle power of God in my life? In a non-theatrical, non-sensational, in a practical way, in an honest, biblical way? Well, I found out that as a former pastor and as an associate that the only way you can do it is to bring biblical principles, to accept God's word as it is, and to believe what God says, and to trust God about what he says. I have never wanted to run a circus. As most of you know by now, I was associated with a church that we ran between 5,000 and 6,000 and 7,000 in Sunday school every Sunday morning. We ran a circus. It had to be a circus. Almost had to be a circus to keep that many people coming. I don't know how any pastor can honestly, and please don't you misunderstand me, I'm not picking on, can run more than 300 or 400 or 500 people and do an honest job as far as a pastor is concerned. You say, well, you know, he could be the head pastor and he could have other men under him. Yes, and then it becomes just like Moses when he couldn't handle all the people and he hired a bunch of people to work underneath him. I've never wanted to run a circus. I've always wanted to just do what God asked me to do. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is still appealing, and Peel is still appalling. You'll have to think about that for a while, and then we'll let it go at that. But in verse 35 of chapter 6, we begin to read some things, and I'm going to only pick out one principle and finish with that tonight. But love your enemy, love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful. Well, how can I be merciful? Read the verse. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Let me say, my friend, God will never ask you to do anything until he gives you the example. And he himself is the example. My friend, he says to be merciful as God was merciful to you. Are you getting what I'm saying here? That you and I are to be merciful to one another as God was merciful to you when he saved you. Did you deserve to be saved? Did you deserve to go to heaven? Did you deserve to have your sin pardoned? Wasn't your sin against Almighty God? God was merciful. And he says, be ye merciful as I am merciful. God never asks you to do something that he hasn't gone the first mile, friend. God never, that's the reason I guess I'm a preacher of the Word of God. I have never found anybody for whom I could work who was any fairer or more honest. Be ye merciful as I am merciful. That's what he says. Look at verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. I received a Christmas card from a person that said, "Well, I want you to know that I am no longer. It was an individual by itself. I'm no longer coming to the church simply because of the fact that they had a problem with somebody in the church. And even though what you said was right, and even though I agree 100% that you're right, there's no way that I can get along with that person, and so therefore I'm leaving." Well, wasn't that abrupt, but I didn't want to read the whole note to you. I thought to myself, my, aren't we living in some strange times? You come to church because you're pleasing somebody else, or you come to church to hear what God has to say to you. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Watch it. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Let me ask you a question, my friend. Have you been forgiven? Can you forgive as you have been forgiven? Oh, that's interesting. You see, and I can understand that thing. There's a lot of amens on the first one, but there's not too many amens on the second one. And it's not that you don't practice it, but you realize that there's a problem there, isn't there? We cannot forgive, and yet we should forgive. I think one of the great qualities and one of the great elements of the first church, and I'll get to the message here. This has got nothing to do with it. Here's my introduction. I've got to get back here. One of the great qualities and the elements of that first church was the fact that they were able to forgive one another as they were forgiven. In the sight of God, you are forgiven as you forgive others. Don't, listen, please, Don't say that you have been forgiven. Don't give a testimony. Don't try to get before people and say how much you have been forgiven if you cannot show it by example. You can only, listen, that which proceedeth out of the heart. You can only, my friend, be an example of forgiveness by how much you forgive. Or by the lack of it. Now, I've not got to my principle here yet. You see, there are a number of principles here. I'm working on a series of messages on merciful and judging and condemning and forgiving. Now look at verse 38. This is the one we all know best. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The principle here, my friend, is not that because, and here is something that is taken by many, many preachers and many denominations. If you give, give and God will give back to you. If that's your intention, if that's your desire, if that's your purpose in your heart of giving, then you are giving erroneously. Now let me say this, God will not be beholden to any man. God will reward you. God will take care of you. He said He will. But let me say something, my friend. It isn't here that counts. It's over there that counts. It's over there that counts. What are you going to say and what am I going to say when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we give an account of why we did what we did? Doesn't 1 Corinthians chapter 3 say of what sort it is? Why did you give the way you gave? Why did you not give the way you did not give? Now, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about everything in general. I want to see the miraculous in my life. And here's the principle that I want to talk to you. Do you believe the Bible? If you believe the Bible, my dear friend, look what it says here. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given. And then he goes on explaining how much. You know, the first time I read that, I thought that was too good to be true. I remember reading that years and years and years and years ago. I don't know how many years ago. It seemed like about 4,000. It was so good to be true that I thought, you know, I better look up at another version. Maybe that King James Version wasn't right. And so I looked to Bad News, the Modern Man, and a few other things, and reach under and reach over and reach around, and I looked at all these things about this verse, and then it dawned on me that maybe I better be careful what I'm looking at because, God knew what He was doing when He wrote the book, and so you just better take it as it is. I've learned that I learned since that time that there's so many versions that I got an ad version. I really did. I tell you very frankly, I have gotten to the place where I look at all the Bibles and I have found out that my favorite version is the exemplified version. I'm looking at people as walking Bibles. I can tell whether a person, you can too, and that's not judging, as to how much a person believes about the Bible. It's powerful for today. Can you and I believe what it says? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And where is this source? Many would like to say, that's the reason I tell you, I appreciate Brother Eric Lloyd. And I appreciate all of it, even Brother Pat, poor guy, poor fellow was trying to lead singing Sunday before I left, and I wouldn't give him any peace. I kept running from one section because I wanted to sing Christmas carols. Didn't care what anybody else wanted to sing. I appreciate these fellows putting up with my nonsense, but boy, I'll tell you, sometimes we just ought to really lift up our voices and sing. What your circumstances are, my dear friend, and what mine are, has nothing to do with the fact that God is our King. God is our source. Many of us like to sing this song, while we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when these difficult, horrendous, miserable, broken, bruised, bleeding days are over, we'll finally stumble into the sweet by and by. And we'll breathe a sigh. It's been worth it all. We finally made it. I want to tell you, my dear friend, and I say this to you, if I wasn't having more fun going to heaven than I had going to hell, I'd still be going to hell. You can say amen to that, unless you're having a better time. If I wasn't, listen to me please, if I wasn't having more fun, if I didn't have more peace, if I didn't have more joy going to heaven than I had when I was going to hell, I'd still be going to hell. I make no bones about it. I'm not an in-between, but an in-between guy. Someone said to me, I told him, I said, I just began to live when I got saved. And somebody said to me, well, isn't being a Christian very constraining? I said, constraining? When I got saved, it was like getting out of a shoebox in the middle of a parking lot. I mean, God turned me loose. Thank God. I mean, it's just like being in a shoebox. I'll say it again. Like being in a shoebox, being let out of a shoebox in the middle of a parking lot. I'll say that again. Hey, dummy, if you're still in the shoebox, God's got the lid off. Jump out. There's a whole parking lot to run around out. Have a good time. Let me tell you something right here now. We look at everything in a, listen to me please, in a horizontal fashion. Well, look at the economy. What's the economy got to do with the Bank of Heaven? Let's quit looking horizontally. Let's start looking vertically. Let's look at where God and man meet. We get so concerned. Well, Mr. So-and-so may leave the church. Well, what's that got to do with heaven? What's that got to do with your source? Isn't it constraining, somebody said. Absolutely not. I want to say something to you very frankly, my friend. I have had the greatest time of all of my life in the last 42 years, going on my 43rd year. And I got a daddy at 70, been saved 78 years, and he'll tell you the same thing. He just can't figure out why God's leaving him here. There are two things he can't figure out. He thinks that he can't figure out why God hasn't been left me here and why I haven't answered the call to be a pastor somewhere in Florida. This Christ that I accepted, this source that became a source in my life, this Father who is the Father of all fathers, who is the greatest forgiver, the greatest lover, the greatest provider and all, He has become my Father and He has been my source on the living level. Somebody wrote, we mutter and we sputter and we fume and we spurt, we mumble and grumble, and our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things, our visions grow dim, when all that we need is a moment with Him. Is a moment with Him. Sputter and mumble and grumble and complain. I don't like so. Hey, I don't like a lot of people. But I'll tell you one thing. I wasn't very pretty when I got saved. God is my source. Christianity is like an oil well. I'm starting off this new year by just rambling here. I'm going to have a good time here tonight. Christianity is like an oil well. The oil is in the ground. You know where the oil is. But how do you get it up? It's like running a pipe. Today we get people who think Christianity, it's like opening up a window, running a pipe out the window, and saying we want water in here. Hey folks, put it in the well. Put it in the well. God is our source. Unless we, that's why your pastor has been so fervent about each of us reading the Word of God through once a year. You'll get infected. I promise you that. I guarantee you that. There'll be nothing like it. I finished up 3 times last year. It's the best I've done for probably 6 or 7 years. I'd get like a lot of you. I'd get on a certain phrase and stop and get stuck on it. And I couldn't get away from it. I made up my mind, that's it. I'm going to read it. I went through 3 times. I started back again on January the 1st, and I finished up the book of Exodus. So I'm starting in the book of Leviticus. And I'm having the greatest time of my life through the book this time. I have no idea how many times I've read the Bible through, nor do I argue about it. But I want to say something to you. There's something about that old book going through you. Something about it going through you. It just, there's something miraculous about that thing. You'll get so infected that next time you can't wait to start all over so you can find something else. And it'll come together, begin to fit together. It'll begin to fit together. I was talking to Wayne and Sandy this morning about it. Boy, I'll tell you something. The more times you go through it, the more the thing fits together and begins to, it's amazing this old book. Unless we read God's word and understand it, it's like a pipe sticking out the window with no water, and you'll never get water from it. Don't be shoddy in your Bible reading. I'll tell you something right here now. You'll start tomorrow reading your Bible, and I'll guarantee you won't go 3 days or something will come up. Do you realize what three chapters, how long it'll take you to read three chapters? It's amazing to me what a short time. If you couldn't read three chapters in 4, 5, 6 minutes, there's something wrong. Or 10 minutes at the most. How under God's heaven are we going to stand before Almighty God and give an account, and in that account have to say, I couldn't even spend 10 minutes out of a day. My day was so busy. That's a lie, and you know it's a lie, and I know it's a lie. When Bible principles are made workable in your life, then verses like Luke chapter 6 will explode in your face. God is our source. Or you could say, if you want something, you're going to have to plant something. If I want an apple tree in my backyard, I'm not going to put a peach seed in. Now that's a very simple, it sounds so simple that people just look at you. But let me say something to you, my dear friends. We as Christians, we're not planting anything but trouble in our lives, and we're expecting God to bless us. You get what you plant. You reap what you sow. I reap what I sow. And God knows your heart, and God knows my heart. God is our source. I would say on top of that that we could take another principle out here. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. You know, we have seen so much sensationalism that we no longer see them. That's the reason, I guess, I appreciate my dad. 94 years old. And to him, one of the most wonderful things, the most fantastic thing in the whole wide world, listen to me, my friend, is not a sunset or a sunrise. The most fantastic thing in the world for him is, and he's just like a little kid, is for him to put a seed in the ground and go back every day waiting for it to come up out of the ground. Wayne's like that too. I'm like that too. The only problem is this: when it gets a little bit out of the ground, I want to help it along, and I keep stretching, and the thing just dies. I can't understand that. I try to help it. We have lost sight of the miraculous. No longer do we appreciate that little seed plowing its way up through the ground. I saw a piece of, looked like coral, big chunk of rock over there. It was on the side of the road. And I saw something, I stopped. And my wife said to me, while we were away, and she said to me, well, what are you doing? I said, Dad, come here with me. We got out of the car. I mean, like a couple of nuts over there on 41, Route 41. Went over there, and right out of the middle of that rock was the greatest miracle that I have ever seen. Right out of the middle of that hard rock, where there was nothing but hard rock sitting up there with the sun shining on it, was a little tree growing out of that rock. We have lost sight of the miraculous. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And if God will do that for that little twig, what do you think he'll do? God didn't die for the twig. God didn't shed his blood for that twig. What will God do for you and for me? I tell you what's happened to us. We've lost sight of the miraculous. God is our source. Let me do something. Will you help this senile old preacher? Let's all say it together on a count of three. God is our source. 1, 2, 3. God is our source. Let's say it one more time. God is our source. You believe that? Okay, let's say it one more time. God is our source. That's the most miraculous statement in all the world. God is your source. God is my source. I mean, the source of everything is God. And he's my Father. God made everything and is everything. There are no limitations to his resources. He giveth and giveth and giveth. And this must become an obsession with you as we start the year 1991. Listen, this must become an obsession with you. God is our source. We must go back to the basics. We have lost sight of the miraculous. We're looking for the sensational, and we think that's miraculous. My friend, we need to look at some of the simple things of the miracles of God. It's a miracle of God. It's a miracle of God. How some of you ugly characters got such beautiful wives. Some of you aren't smiling. It's a miracle of God that you're not in dead and you're not dead and in hell tonight. It's a miracle of God, my dear friend. It's a miracle of God that you've learned how to love and to forgive. It's a miracle of God, my friend, that on a Sunday night, that you're not sitting home watching a football game. That'll be a miracle of God. If Craig Eschner's here on the 27th, the miraculous. Churches today are infected with this disease of horizontalism. Oh, I hear that. I tell you, what if so-and-so quits? How about the doctor or how about the wealthy man in the church? Listen, my friend. What if this plant closes down or that place begins to lay men off or this happens or that happens? What are we going to do? And on and on. What about the fact that there are a number of people who are laid off there? What has that got to do with God's economy? God is our source, not these horizontal considerations. What happens if this or that or this or this or whatever the case may be happens does not, my dear friend, have anything to do with God is our source. God is our source. Quit looking horizontally. The Lord is going to, listen, friend, the Lord is going to get us through. Do you believe that if you're honest with God, that God will be honest with you? Do you believe that if you're honest with God, God will be honest with you? Say amen, even if you got to lie. How am I going to pay my bills? Well, maybe you shouldn't have got them in the first place. Mankind is often the agent of God's source, but he is never God's source. Mankind is often the agent of God's source, but he is never God. He is God, but God is the source. God is our source. He is our only source. And if you're depending upon any other source, then you are robbing the glory that belongs to God, and I'm robbing the glory that belongs to God. I got an illustration. I probably have used this before I hear, and if I have, you just be patient with it and listen to it. But to me, it explains better than anything else. I never forget it. I will never forget. I bought a stereo one time. And I should have bought it at Albano's place. I know that. I should have. I should have had Mike buy it for me, I guess, but I didn't. I bought this stereo, and my wife wanted one, and all the components. Is that components? All the thingamajigs that goes with the thing. Now, I'm not much for all that stuff. I really am not. But my wife is, so I bought it. And she was happy with it for a while, and one day she said to me, she said, "Honey, the stereo doesn't work." I said, "What are you talking about? It doesn't work. It's only 2 weeks old." She said, "I don't know, just quit." I said, "What'd you do to it? Hit it with a hammer? What? Well, you know, right away I started blaming her. She said, "No, I didn't do anything, just quit." So I looked it over with my great technical advice. made sure that the plug was in. The plug was in. I said, "That's it. We'll take it back." So I took it back to the guy. "Oh," he said, "we'll have it fixed for you in just a minute. Just something a little simple." And so I took it back to him. I think he had about a day or so, and he called me and said, "It's all done." So I said, "Thank you." Went and picked it up, put it back in. It worked for 3 more days. Zonk. Out it went. I mean, folks, I must have gone back a half a dozen times, back and forth, to this jerk up the street to fix that thing. I said one day, I said to him, "Fix it once and for all, and that's it." It became a conflict with me. It really did. I wish I could quit fighting battles that aren't worth winning. But it became a real conflict with me. And I got that stereo, finally got it fixed. And I had to go away on a speaking engagement, and I came back, and I was tired. I had a plane ride, and I was just tired, and it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock, or 12 o'clock, something like this. My wife says, "You going to bed?" I said, "No." I said, "Go on to bed." I said, "You tell me that stereo with that music has a way of just soothing the savage beast." And so I got the stereo, put the, like the big shot, put the earphones on. I'll tell you why I never wear earphones anymore. And I lay down on that Davenport, and I put that beautiful music on. And boy, how many tell you, it was soothing. I put the light down low, one little bulb there, and I was doing what everybody does when they have a stereo, listening to the music. I'm telling you, folks, when the lights were out like that, I could just feel the tension coming out of my toes and out of my fingers. I was just relaxing. I was just in the place where I was just really relaxing. Guess what happened? The dumb stereo went zonk. Boy, I'm telling you something right here. That did it. I got up. I turned that dumb stereo off. I turned off the record player. I turned off the light on the end of the end table, and I charged out of the room and almost tore my ears off. I forgot to take the earphones off. I'll never put another set of earphones on again as long as I live. I charged up the steps. I threw the earphones, and I charged up the steps, and I went to bed with authority. My wife was sleeping, and I charged into the room, and she sat up, and she looked at me, and she says, "What's wrong?" I said, "I'll tell you what's wrong. That stereo is the most upsetting, vexing thing. I began to stutter and stutter and stutter." And she said, "Mel, listen. No one can fix it at 2 o'clock in the morning. What do you expect me to do?" My wife has a way of saying beautiful things like that. I looked at her and I said, "Among other things, Jean, I expect you to be quiet. Let me finish my speech." And I went at it. Boy, Maytag got it, and Ralph Nader got it, and Sears and Roebuck got it, and General Motors got it, and Ford got it, and the Chrysler product. I mean, I went through everything. I mean, I let it out, and I turned off the light and lay down and went to sleep. I got up the next morning. I'll be patient with this. There's a point to this thing, I think. I look at that stereo, and I had an impulse to take a hammer and just smash it to pieces. But somewhere the savage beast was soothed. And I began to turn it around to see what the problem was. And guess what I found? I found in the bottom, I'm looking at it here, so I make sure that I don't forget it. It was Bryan Electronics Manufacturing in a little town in Pennsylvania. Or a town in Pennsylvania, I don't know what it was. And I said, that's it. I got on that telephone. And I dialed up the operator. And I said, "I'm looking for Bryan Electronics Manufacturing and in a particular city and in Pennsylvania." And they gave me the area code, and they gave me the number, and I finally dialed it. Rang for a while, and sweet voice said, "Hello, may I help you?" I said, "You sure can." She said, "What's the trouble?" I said, "I'd like to speak to Mr. Bryan." Well, she says, "There is no such person as Mr. Bryan. That's just a trade name." Oh, I said, "It's like Betty Crocker, isn't it? Nobody can make food that bad. She ain't Betty Crocker." She said, "But can I help you, sir?" I said, "Lady, I don't know what his name is, but I know who I want. I want the big shot of all big shots. I want the head honcho of Bryan Electronics. I don't want to talk to anybody else. I want to talk to the biggest deal I want to talk to the head man himself. I want to talk to Mr. Big Deal." And she said, "Oh, you having trouble with your stereo?" I said, "You're right, you guessed it." Oh, she said, "Okay, I'll put you through to customer repair service." I said, "Hold it! I don't want customer repair service. I don't want customer analyzing service. I don't want the secretary pool. I don't want the parking lot. I want Mr. Big Shot. I want the president of the company." she said, well, all right, I'll put you through. So there was a click, 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 and I'm getting myself all put together over here. And pretty soon another lady said, hello, Mr. So-and-so's office. This is Secretary So-and-so. I said, I want to talk to your boss. She says, who shall I say is calling? I said, a dissatisfied customer. She said, what seems to be the problem? I said, there's no sense in me talking to him, but I'm going to tell it to you. I want to talk to your boss. I don't want to talk to you or anybody else. I want to talk to you about, I was just a Christian a short time. I still hadn't learned how to be real. Well, I still haven't learned, I guess. She said, well, she says, he's on the phone right now. Will you wait? I said, I sure will. And she said, all right, just hold on just a second. As soon as he gets off the phone, I'll put him on. I said, well, lady, let me ask you a question while I got you on the phone. And she said, yes, sir. I said, who does your boss answer to? She said, nobody. I said, you mean he doesn't answer? No, he's the boss. The buck stops at his desk, and whatever he says goes. He's number one. He's the boss. There's nobody else above him. I says, you mean he doesn't have to talk to anybody? No, if he makes a decision, that decision is made. And that's it. I said, that's good. That's the one I want to talk to. Well, a few minutes later, he gets on the phone. He says, hello, may I help you, sir? And so I'm not going to bore you with all the details. I told him the whole story. I mean, I was telling it with authority again. I mean, I let him know that I was a dissatisfied customer. I mean, I went up one side and down the other. And do you know what he said? Sir, if you'll mail it back to me, we'll take care of it. And that floored me. I expected him to give me a hard time. And I scratched my head and I said, I don't have a box. He says, we'll send you one. And sure enough, they sent me a box. Listen to me, please. They sent me a box. About 4 days later, I got the box. I put the stereo in the box, mailed it back to him, and about 8 days later, they sent me a brand new stereo with a note of apology. Sorry that the stereo hadn't worked for you, and we just trust that everything will be all right with this one here. You know what? That stereo worked for about 10 years. Never had a bit of problem with it. You know what I learned? You know what I learned from that? If you want to get something done, go to the source. Go to number one. You know, my dear friend, let me tell you this right here now. Don't take it to your uncle to fix it. Or don't take it to some guy up the street to fix it. Or don't take it to your next door neighbor. Please, please don't take it to your next door neighbor to fix it. Or don't take it to Mr. Cheapy to fix it. Take it to the head of the company, the guy who knows this, who knows what the stereo is all about. Take it to him. You know what's wrong in our Christianity? We got a problem, we run to the neighbor. Or we run to the telephone. Or we run to somebody in the church. Or we run here or there. Or we run to the pastors. My dear friend, if you want the problem solved, go to number one. God is our source. That's what I learned. I learned, my dear friend, that you can take it to anybody you want to, but there's nobody can fix it like Mr. Brian. Even though his name wasn't Brian. Now, this works for a lousy TV set. How about... And boy, I learned a valuable lesson. In this world, you can take your problems to this or that. You can worry about this person or worry about that person. You can worry about this problem or that problem, my dear friend. And you can have all these horizontal considerations driving you crazy. But they are not Bible. Our God is our source. And our source is our God through this book. Begin to read it. When God says something, it'll happen. Going on 16 years ago, they said, that's impossible. It's impossible to build a church on Staten Island with some kind of gimmick, without some kind of a gimmick or some kind of a show or some kind of sensationalism. It's impossible. And I said this, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God is our source. And if there's any success in this church, my dear friend, it will not be because of us. It will be because God is working through us. God is working through us. You have to understand that. You have to believe that. You have to be willing to believe that. That God is our source. And God is the source in your life. You may be experiencing health problems. You may be experiencing financial problems. You may be experiencing emotional problems. You may be experiencing, I don't know what you may be experiencing, but I want to say this to you right now from the source of God. God is our source, and He knows about your problems, and He knows about your cares, and He's waiting for you to come to Mr. Bryan. He'll fix it. This is not just a message for this evening. This is a message for the rest of our lives. Not a message just for this time. This is a message for the... Listen, the point is this. The point is this. Number one is the one that you want to see about your problems. You may not have all the answers to it, my friend, but I can promise you this. You're not required to memorize this Bible. You're required to read it. And one of the most miraculous truths that will ever evolve out of that Bible reading is this. That it'll be amazing to you after you read through that Bible at least one time, how that when a problem comes out of a clear blue sky, if you're honest with God, how He'll give you that scripture verse. And many of you know what I'm talking about. If you've experienced that, amen? You've experienced that. You just never dreamed. I mean, I've seen some things come in my life, and I just could not believe that it was happening. And I said, God, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to trust You. I need some help. And because I had made it a point to read through God's Word, God brought that scripture verse to my attention.